The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and the sword of the and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. Kind of sort of dovetailed with what we were talking about in an adult Bible study as far as the Pharisees challenging Jesus that he wasn't following all the little rules about the Sabbath. The Pharisees had this idea that if you didn't follow these ceremonies precisely as they said, then God would reject you. So if you ate something you weren't supposed to, that was a sign God had rejected you. And Jesus is coming to this gospel text and saying you're completely misunderstanding what sin's all about. The beginning part of this chapter was when Jesus' disciples were walking through the field, they were hungry, so they took some heads of grain and started to eat. Of course, being on the Sabbath, the Pharisees yelled, which, by the way, has always kind of struck me as odd. If they're out in the field walking and the disciples pick grains of wheat to eat, how did disciples get out there? The Pharisees get out there? Weren't they walking, breaking the Sabbath? You guys ever thought of this? Insanity is a wonderful gift. Anyway, Jesus' response to the Pharisees, "You have laid aside the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." All too often times, people look at religion is what you do. And Jesus is saying the heart is what's dirty. Jesus is teaching a deep spiritual truth here in this lesson when he says, "There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." There was a grumpy old Sunday school teacher. Not any of ours here. Our ladies are all wonderful, so this is a grumpy old male Sunday school teacher. And he gets done with most of the lesson, and he says to his class of students, "Why do people say that I am a Christian?" The little boy raised his hand. Grumpy called on him. "Because they don't know you very well." Jesus is kind of like that little boy. He tells it exactly the way it is. See, sin is not a result of an environment. So you grow up in the wrong environment, and that's what causes people to sin. No, sin is a result of what's already inside of us. Because by nature, we are born sinful. If you want to put it this way, sin is part of our DNA. It is in there from the very beginning. And of course, the world always says, you know, deep down, there's a good part in everybody. You've heard that one? And if we just search, we can find that one good spark. Yeah, like Hitler had a good side. Yeah. By the way, that's a big heresy when people say, "Well, if we just find that little divine spark within them." That's one of the heresies that's dealt with in the New Testament church, even during the time of John when he writes his letters. But that's another story for another day. People will blame bad environment, bad education. But Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" See, inside of all of us, every one of us, we have that little fountain of wickedness which just loves to bubble over. Yes, in this text, Jesus is also casting out which foods are clean, which foods are unclean. Bacon's in, sweet potatoes are out. I just sort of think about that. No. By the way, it's a real radical idea that Jesus is teaching. All that ceremonial food thing is gone. Peter had troubles with this one. So much troubles that in the book of Acts, God had to give him a vision that says, "Peter, knock it off. Stop calling people unclean or food unclean." Jesus is correcting this misconception of sin. See, sin is not just doing what's wrong. To explain, the world describes sin as an accident. It's just something you happened to do. God says sin is a choice. And one of the characteristics of sin is a spiritual matter, not a physical one. So the eating of food, that's not a sin. Now, I've got to be careful here because in Romans it says, "It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." So I can lead my fellow man astray by what I eat and drink, That's a separate issue. But in and of itself, nothing's going to make us unclean that we take. See, it's in the heart. That's where the sin is. And the heart isn't that physical four chamber. Yes, that four chamber thing that pushes the blood. When we're talking about sin is in the heart is the center of your personality. It's the core of who you are. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Got to deal with the source of sin. Well, I don't have Larry to pick on. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? You go home today and there's water in your kitchen. About a half an inch. So you get that mop and you get that bucket out and you start going to town. Pretty soon you realize the water is up to a full half inch. What should you have been doing? What Jeff was trying to say is, turn the water off. Call the plumber earlier. Anyway. See, that's what happens when you ask questions. You know, you got to deal with the source of the sin. You got to turn it off. See, sin begins with entertaining the thought. We think about it. Then we do it. Nobody has ever driven down the street, driven past the Circle K, saying, okay, I'm going to rob this now. Walk in there and rob it. Out of the blue, they just pop in their head and they're going to go in there and do it. That's not the way it happens. Begins as a thought, percolates in there, and then it comes to fruition. And by the way, we all have the capability of almost any type of sin. We could steal, we could murder, we could do all those things. But we're looking at these things and saying, no, I'm not going to do this. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6 tells us that the consequence of sin is death. By the way, you can have all the rules, administrative laws, all the laws the government can possibly think of, and you're not going to fix society. Sadly, there's a lot of people in this country that seem to believe we just passed enough laws, we have enough programs, we spend enough money, we can fix everything. That's sort of taking care of the symptoms, but not the core of the problem. It needs a radical change within a person. Education, culture, improving all those other things, that's sort of the mop and bucket that you use after you've taken care of the source of sin. And that way that sin is defeated is because of what Christ did for us on that cross. John 1:12 tells us, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be the children of God." Without an internal fix, there's no external fix. Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Transformed. Remember those children's toys, the little transformers? Okay? They still, no matter how you put it, I could never figure out those stupid things. So suddenly I had to take care of something. Go take it to your mother. But anyway, it still was whatever, what, a car? And then you change it into a robot or whatever? That's not transforming that's talked about here. Transforming in the Bible, when you literally remake the inside, give it a whole new focus. And by the way, do we ever get to that point where we are good and sinless? No. Nope. but it's a constant repenting of our sins. It's focusing on Christ's deeds, focusing on His words, focusing on what He did on the cross. And in conclusion, I'd say Jesus cannot be first in our lives. And here's why. If you have a first, you have a second, right? Football season starting, right? Now, if you are the starting quarterback, you got a number two. And what's number two hoping for? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, you know, honestly, I love my team and the fans and all. Number two, he's going, another interception. And then what? Who's in the game? Me. Jesus can't be first, because then second is always trying to take his place. Instead, the scripture teaches that he is the only thing in our lives that truly matter. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.